And I'm back. This is Ms. G, and I am bringing you Left Hanging. And tonight's stories comes from Tales and Legends of the Yupik Eskimos of Siberia. It's edited by Alexander Delitzky and translated by Henry Michael. The Youth Who Became Northern Lights. So it was, there was a man who lived with his wife on the coast. They had no children. The man always went to the sea to hunt for seal, walrus, and other sea animals. One time he did not kill any, and he returned home. It was late and becoming dark. The man walked and walked, looked at the sky, and saw the northern lights. Many of the northern lights were playing with a fiery ball. One small northern light broke away from the sky and fell, brightly lit, near the dwelling of the man. The man hurried home. He came in and he saw his wife was pregnant. The man was happy. The northern lights brought him good luck. They ate and went to sleep. One morning, the man again went hunting. He killed a few seals, and when he returned, he saw that his wife had delivered a boy. The father named his son Northern Lights. Every day, Northern Lights grew a little, and soon he became a youth. Once again, the father went hunting. He walked on the ice far toward the open sea. A storm blew up and broke up the ice. The father was left in the sea, and there he died. The mother of Northern Lights mourned and mourned until she died of grief. Northern Lights became an orphan among strangers. Once he thought to himself, "My mother and father died. Father died in the sea. Mother finished herself off." Old people say, those that do not die a regular or natural death, but drown in the sea or put their hands onto themselves, committing suicide, are lifted to the northern lights in the sky. And surely my father with my mother are already there. At night he went to the sea and looked at the sky, and there the northern lights were playing with fiery balls. He took a long hunting thong and threw it upwards. The thong reached the northern lights and fastened itself onto them. The youth climbed up the thong to the sky, and the northern lights became even more frolicsome, and he began to play with them. Playing and having a good time, he altogether forgot about the earth. And so he had arrived from the sky, he again returned to it, and among the northern lights he became an elder. That's The Youth Who Became Northern Lights. And it was translated into Russian by G.A. Menashevkov. It's a mythical legend about a youth who became a principal component of the Northern Lights. My next story is titled The Boy and the Eagles. Long, long ago, on the other shore of the sea, a man and his wife lived in a secluded place. The man was a good hunter. He brought home many sea mammals and furry animals, and so they lived, and a child was born to them. The woman was very proud of her son. When they get old, there will be somebody to feed them in their old age. The child grew quickly since he always ate fresh food. He did not get sick, learned to walk early and to talk. He was bright, healthy, and deft. When they woke up in the morning, they ate. They could hear the wind blowing outside. The father went out. The wind was blowing from the land. The sea was covered with white waves. The father glanced at the sea, at the sky, judged the weather, went back in the house, and said to his son, "Come with me to the shore. I'll put you in a kayak." The child, not yet having the power of thought, readily agreed. The father carried the kayak, and together they went to the shore. He seated his son in the kayak. He covered the opening and tightened it firmly so that water would not get inside the kayak. He fastened a leather thong to the kayak and began to pull it hither and thither over the water. He pulled it a bit, and then he took out a knife and cut the thong. The kayak began to be driven by the wind out to the sea. It began to rock from side to side and was driven farther. It was carried far into the sea. The kayak floated all day, a second day. It floated for a long time. The child was hungry, and he had to discharge his bodily waste directly into the kayak. Finally, the kayak floated to a quiet place. It touched something hard, slid over pebbles, reached something solid, and came to a rest. The child could not get out of the kayak by himself. He was tied in. So he sat in the kayak. "Who is going to let me out of here?" he thought. He sat there for a long time without moving, listening for anyone who might come by. Suddenly, he heard some kind of voice, and he thought, "Who could that be? Surely he will kill and eat me." From the outside, the sounds quickly came closer, and the voices were clearer. The child made out that two women were coming. They arrived, and one said to the other, "Look, a kayak. Whose is it? It's tied up so tightly." The other said, "Let's untie it. It would be nice if a small child was there. Maybe we'll find an infant." They began to untie the kayak, turning it to all sides. They untied it, but they did not take the cover off at once. One of them made a small hole, and from it came a foul smell. She pulled the thong off and uncovered the kayak. They saw a small child there, a very dirty one. The other untied him, took him in her arms, and wiped him dry. She took off her kukuyanka, wrapped him in it, and all went home. They walked and rejoiced. Now a brother had come to them. They arrived and told their father and mother about their happiness. "We're not good for nothings," they said. "We've found such a handsome child. When he grows up, he will be our provider. He will hunt for our food." They washed the child, and behold, he turned out to be so comely. He raised his head. On his right, an old man sat on a plank bed. On his left, in a niche, an old woman. The girls started to feed their younger brother, holding back nothing, with whale cracklings, meat of wild deer, and walrus blubber. The child ate, had his fill, and fell fast asleep. And so he began to live in the place for good. The sisters didn't let him go anywhere, not even outside, and as for themselves, they never stayed away long. They went hunting and brought back rings, sails, bearded seals, and wild deer. The child thought, "How do they hunt for such large animals?" At one time, they were gone for a long time, longer than usual. It was becoming dark. Above the zimyanka, our earthen house, a loud noise was heard. The old man exclaimed, "Good, for sure my daughters have killed a whale." And really, they had killed a whale. The family was curious as to how two women could hunt for a whale. So he asked one of the sisters, "How can you women hunt for all these animals?" One of the sisters answered, "You must know that we don't live in the same way your kin do. We fly in the air. We are eagles. That's why we can hunt for any kind of animal." It turned out that the child was carried in the kayak so far that he ended in the land of the eagles. He had spent many years with the eagles. The food there was good, and the child grew rapidly. Finally, he matured. He became a young man. But he never went anywhere. The sisters would not allow it. The sisters looked after him so that nothing bad would happen to him, and he grew into complete manhood. At that time, the old man said, "He cannot live like this forever, and you, too, will not be the same. There will come a time when you will become feeble. Now, fetch my hide and let him learn to fly." The women went to the canopy and brought out a large hide. It was the hide of a very large bird with a large curved beak and claws. The old man told the youth, "Now put it on." The young man put on the wings. "Fly." The young man wanted to fly off, but he turned over and fell head down. He started to learn at home, but all the same he fell head over heels. Patiently, the young man was learning to fly, with the old man exhorting him to do it. And so he finally began to fly, first at home, then in the air. True, he got tired, but then he got used to it and did not feel the tiredness. When he learned to fly well, he started to hunt rabbits. But even a rabbit protects his life. You will not catch him easily. Finally, somehow, he caught a rabbit. He grasped him firmly, killed him, and brought him home. They praised him, encouraged him. So every day he went hunting and killing rabbits. One day he killed a wild deer. Again, they encouraged him. In the end, he learned how to hunt all animals. When he saw them, he killed them. The sisters began to teach him how to hunt sea mammals. One day, the three of them flew far toward the sea. They flew for a long time and high. After some time, they flew lower. They arrived at the ice floes. On the ice, as it turned out, very many seals were resting. One of the sisters said, "Now see how I will catch a seal." She darted down and caught a seal. Then the second sister also took a seal. "And now you also try to take one," they said to him. Without any difficulty, he caught a seal. They returned with a catch. The brother carried his own seal. At home, he was the first to be praised. Now all three began to bring home seals. Soon their brother began to bring in a walrus. And when they got tired of eating sea animals, they flew to the tundra after wild deer and rabbits. Soon he did not let the sisters go hunting. He became a good provider, had no fears, and flew after any animal. He also began to hunt for whales by himself. He prepared himself to fly after prey. His sisters warned him to be careful. If anything bad happened, he must call his sisters right away, even if they were at home at the time. His sisters forewarned him. "If you see a large, fire-breathing whale, don't be tempted. He is very strong. He is dangerous to fight. It would be wrong. You are now bringing in large whales, but the fire-breathing ones are many times larger. They cannot be hunted. Look, did you hear us?" The brother heard, and he did not go after fire-breathing whales. Once he flew far into the sea. There wasn't a seal or walrus stirring. Suddenly he saw fire-breathing giant whales diving. They would come to the surface and swim at length without diving. He flew over them. He flew, and suddenly he was afire with the passion of the hunt. But he could not decide to attack. He was afraid. He thought of the warning. He circled over the whales, looking for the smallest one. He saw two whales swimming side by side, and one of them was smaller than all the rest. His spouting was also smaller. He observed the whale and still could not decide whether its strength was even to his. Seizing an opportune moment, he dove below and sank his talons into the whale's back. He wanted to lift the prey into the air, but did not have the strength to do it. Each tried to pull his own way, the whale down into the depths of the sea, the eagle up into the sky. For a long time, one could not overpower the other. The eagle was becoming tired. He was sinking into the water. He wanted to release the whale, but could not. His talons were deeply embedded in the whale's back. The water was reaching to his knees. The eagle called out. He began to call his sisters for help. "Hey, I am in trouble. Fly to me. A whale is killing me." At that time, the sisters were sitting at home. Then one of the sisters said to the other, "Oi, how my heart is thumping. Is something happening to brother?" The other sister said, "My heart is also restless." They looked at each other, got up, put on their eagle skins, and left. They were somewhat in doubt where to fly, but flew toward the sea. And the brother was up to his hips in water. The sisters flew far. Suddenly, they saw the brother struggling with the whale, and the whale had already pulled him into the water up to his waist. They dashed downward and grasped the whale, one at the head, the other at the tail fin, and with little effort lifted him into the air. The three of them flew the prey home. When they were almost home, they let him drop to the ground. The ground trembled under the impact of his weight. "A good catch," remarked the father. They entered the Zimlilanka and saw how tired their brother was. They sat down to eat. After they ate, the sisters angrily scolded him for disobedience. For many years, they all lived together. The youth had become an eagle when he flew to hunt, always sought his parents. He saw many people in the tundra. Some were developing their skills, others were interested in who knows what. The youth eagle returned home. The old man sighed. "Eh, those were the times, but they're gone. When we were young, and if we wanted to eat, we ate." The youth thought to himself, "What does the old man want to eat?" Then one time he asked his sisters, "What kind of tasty morsel does the old man eagle want?" The sister replied, "He wants to taste human flesh. But don't you listen to him. We don't measure up ourselves with people. In their hands they have something very sharp. Don't pay any attention to the little old man. People will kill you. And we have a custom. If somebody kills a man when he enters the Zimilanka, he frowns fiercely." The youth stopped listening to the old man, and the old one repeated his desire over and over again. The youth thought to himself, "It's bad they don't respect the old man. What if I fly to hunt a man?" In the morning he left. In the tundra he saw a man training himself to be deft. He flew closer, waited for the right moment, grasped the man, and squeezed him with all his strength until he stopped breathing. He returned home and put the prey on the outside bench. At the entrance, he took off his eagle skin and went in frowning fiercely. The old man saw him and said, "Eh, why is our man in a mood as if there was nothing to be happy about?" After the meal, the young man told his sisters that on the bench there was a tasty bit for the old ones. But the sisters had already told the old ones what the young man had brought home. The old ones went outside, and for 4 days, without returning to the Zimilanka, they ate of the tasty meal. Only on the 5th day, after they had eaten all of it, did they return. Then again, the old ones wanted some human flesh. At this time, the young man flew to find his father. For a long time, he sought him, and in the end, he found him. He waited for the right moment, seized the man, and with all his power, squeezed him until he stopped breathing. He brought him home and put him on the bench. And he said to his sisters, "Wouldn't it be interesting to know where my mother is?" "So it turns out that you have a mother," the sister said in wonder. "Tomorrow you fly after her." "And why didn't you say anything about this earlier?" "I was afraid that the old eagles would eat her." "Don't be afraid, we will not allow them to eat her. You fly after her soon." The next day the young man flew to find his mother. He found her and descended to the ground in front of the Zimilanka. But his mother was afraid to come out. Such a terrible bird had flown to her place. The young man took the eagle skin off and went to his mother. He had a hard time convincing her that he was her son. They came out together. The young man put on the eagle skin, carefully picked up his mother with his paws, and carried her. They flew for a long time, but nothing happened to the mother. The sisters met her with kindness, and the old ones only asked, "Your father? Where is he?" The young man replied, "I've killed him, and you've eaten him long ago." "Why did you kill your father?" asked the old man. "When I was very small, my father took me to the seashore, put me in a kayak, tied me in it, and let the kayak float out into the sea." And he told the old ones all that had happened. So the mother of the eagle man started to live well, was in no need of anything, and did not have to work anymore. The eagles and the mother of the young man eagle lived to a ripe old age. Afterwards, they became related and lived well and in harmony. You've just heard me read The Boy and the Eagles. This is Ms. G. I'm bringing you Left Hanging here tonight, and I'll be right back here at 104.3 in Juneau, Alaska. Please stay tuned. And hello, this is Ms. G again, and I'm bringing you Left Hanging here at 104.3 in Juneau. And my next tales and legends of the Yupik Eskimos of Siberia is called The Ruler of the Sea. Long, long ago, there lived in Imiklik an old man and his wife. They had an only son. The old man used to go to the steep cliffs to catch seahorses. Every time he caught several, he would always tie them to his belt so they would bring him luck. One day, the son of the old man went to the seashore and saw seaweeds and mussels thrown ashore by the tide. Suddenly, at the very edge of the water, he saw an enormous crab. The child wanted to catch the crab and bring it home. He ran toward the crab and just about to grasp it, but the crab seized the child with his claws. He held him very strongly and dragged him into the sea. The child could not tear himself away, and the crab pulled him into the ocean depth. The wife with the father of the son waited and waited. They could not wait any longer and lay down to sleep. They woke up in the morning, and still there was no son. They became very frightened. The father stopped eating. Several days went by, and yet the son did not return. They looked for the child everywhere. They found him nowhere. The old man aged in grief. He stopped eating even the tastiest of morsels. He only ate a bit from the hands of his loving sister. The grief shattered the old man altogether, and he decided to drown himself. He went to the shore and walked to the very edge of the water. His sister saw this and guessed that the old man was going to do away with himself. She called out to him, "Where are you going, brother? You're going to drown. The water is ice cold. You're going to suffer very much. Come back, brother, come back." The old man listened to his sister and he returned. But when night came and all fell asleep, he again went to the sea. He entered the water and walked on the bottom up to the very depths of the sea. The old man walked under the water for a long time and finally found himself in an underwater village. He saw the Zimlanka, an earthen hut. He entered the hut. There a man sat making something. The seaman saw the person who had arrived and asked him, "What did you come here for? Were you in a shipwreck?" The old man replied, "I have not been in a shipwreck, but I have lost my only son." The seaman said, "In the middle of our village there is a large Zimlanka. In it lives the ruler of this sea. Your son is at his place." The old man from Imiklik went to the ruler of the sea. He entered the Zimlanka and saw an enormous man sitting in the middle of the polog, or sleeping bench. Shaggy hair covered his face entirely. Then the ruler of the sea asked, "What did you come here for?" "For my son," answered the old man from Imiklik. The ruler of the sea spoke, "I will not give your son back. He came by himself of his own will into my hands." The old man looked at the upper beams. Two youngsters were sitting there. One of them was his son. The old man said to the ruler of the sea, "I will do for you whatever you want. Only give me my son." The ruler of the sea replied, "I want nothing from you. I will not give him back." Whatever the old man offered to the ruler of the sea, he rejected. Then the old man remembered his seahorses fastened to his belt. He said then to the ruler of the sea, "Look at my seahorses. Take them, but only give me my son." The ruler of the sea looked at the seahorses and asked the others living in the house what they thought of them. Vying with each other, they began to praise them to the skies. Suddenly, with a frown, the ruler of the sea told all to be quiet. He forbade them not only to praise the seahorses, but also to look at them, as he was very much pleased with the seahorses. He then told the son of the old man to put on his clothes. The other youth also put on his clothes. The ruler of the sea did not say anything about that and let them all go. The people from Imiklik left the Zimlanka and met the person who had sent the old man to the ruler of the sea. He said to them, "Close your eyes tight and take three steps." They closed their eyes and took three steps. When they opened their eyes, they saw that they were on the seashore next to their village of Imiklik. Then they went home. And the youngster who came with them from the ruler of the sea stayed in Imiklik for good. You've just been listening to me read The Ruler of the Sea from Tales and Legends of the Yupik Eskimos of Siberia. This has been Ms. G bringing you Left Hanging here at 104.3. Until next time, good night.
Inside the city, trying to figure out their place inside that structure.
Wayne Miller talks about his work and what he's learned from translating other poets today on New Letters on the Air, a production of the University of Missouri.